Hello and welcome to day three of the Money Matrix Magic Marathon. And yesterday we were focused on loss and how that impacts the way we are in the world, and how abandonment or loss is often felt as abandonment, and that can lead us to lose faith and trust. And we actually talked about how a number of people on the call were feeling that they'd actually felt lack of faith or trust in the divine, in God, or however you like to call it, in source, as to, you know, having support from something else than their own little efforts. And instead of being in line and connected with the universe and the source of energy, which is a lot easier when we are connected to that. And there was some talk about how many of us expect that the rug will be pulled from underneath us, especially if you've been abandoned in some way, let's say by your mother or father, maybe not intentionally. That will often make you fear that things are going to go for the worse. You may be doing well, but something's going to happen. And that, of course, can happen in many other senses, like if you've had a traumatic event of any kind, which may not be abandonment, then you can feel that everything can be going well, but something always is going to happen that's going to be a disaster. And so that can really have an impact on your ability to make money and your relationship to make money, because often that will translate to, I was abandoned as a child. Well, I'm going to be abandoned by money. And that if you look at your relationship with money and how money is in the in your life, you'll often see a relationship between that and if you have issues of abandonment or other issues of trauma. So even though sometimes this what we're doing doesn't seem directly focused on money, it does tremendously affect our ability to generate and to receive. So we also talked yesterday, Katrina brought in the idea, instead of having this rug taken, always being pulled out from underneath, you can have a magic carpet, which actually helps you get to your next destination and where you want to go. And so that was a really nice way of changing the image about what can happen, and instead of saying what can happen bad to me, instead to say, how can I go, you know, what are the miraculous possibilities here, and where can my magic carpet take me? So that's a whole other angle. And one thing to say, some of you probably know in depth about the law of attraction. Some people may not even believe it. For a long time, I felt very ambiguous about it. But the law of attraction says that vibrationally, what we focus on calls in more of the same. So just repeating actually affirmations like I'm amazing, I'm making so much money, and blah, blah, blah. Unless underneath you believe that, you're not going to be calling it in. And if you have underneath, in terms of your subconscious, which is really the most powerful, are thinking, the rug is going to be pulled from underneath me, and a disaster is just around the corner, then that is going to be coming into your field in terms of your experiences, and you're going to be attracting more of that. So, right. So, and today what we're going to, and another thing that we really focused on yesterday that I thought was very helpful was when we feel this abandonment, we disconnect from the source. We feel very alone, and we feel like we're something, you know, alone in the universe, which of course cannot be more untrue, because of course we're all connected, and we're all connected through energy. Energy, like although we all seem distinct and different. We all are part of the universal energy and are connected to that. And so, but what we did talk about was connecting, reconnecting. It's like, you know, putting the plug back into the source. And although we're always connected, if we disconnect in terms of our thoughts and feelings of alone, we aren't open to all the possibilities that can come into our life and on the positive scale, and we're not vibrationally putting that out. So today what we're going to do is we're going to go deeper into the Cinderella story as a portal to the issues of trauma, abuse, and enslavement. That sounds really bad, doesn't it? but a lot of us, in fact, I would say all of us have issues which could come under this theme, because all of us in some way, even if we've had the best of childhoods, we will have been subjected to some issues of trauma, probably, and which could be even in the past, because all of our families and our ancestors have suffered abuse and trauma. And you can just think of, like, I know, depending on your age, like my parents went, my father went through the first, he was fairly young when it was the First World War, but that was started with the First World War. Then there was the Second World War and the Holocaust, which he is a Jew, that really impacted him. And my mother, of course, you know, and he lost lots of the family, and that was hugely traumatic, and that was transmitted into our family. And my mother, who wasn't Jewish but was a Catholic, came, and she was also during the war, and lost somebody she was going to marry originally during the war. And so all kinds of trauma gets translated. And of course then there was also the Great Depression. And that has, I mean, I find with clients that's really impacted them, because all the attitudes, all the insecurity that came from the Big Depression, the Great Depression, and there's, of course, have been subsequent, ups and downs of the economy. And this is all this all can be really traumatic and passed on to us, and allow us to have certain attitudes around money. I mean, I for a long time, kind of thinking, oh, everything's going to crash. And this was way before some of the more recent, troubles of the American and world economy. Because of the, you know, because I'd heard of and studied about the Great Depression, I always felt, you know, what's the point in saving or doing anything like that? Because look at what happens. Everybody loses everything. So all those things can make you act in kind of ways that aren't always helpful. In terms of your saving and your in the way you spend. And in fact, what I was actually, it was really ironic, because I was always worried about another Great Depression. And of course, when there were the, you know, a couple of years, and, you know, who knows, we may head for another one. A few years ago, when there were all the, you know, the huge problems with the U.S. economy, and also worldwide, and a lot of different economies were going under, it was funnily enough at that point that I actually was doing pretty well. So you never know with your personal, personal and world events don't always coincide. So to kind of base your thinking around money on what might happen does not really work that well. So that being said, I want to go into, like, we'll be talking about Cinderella's story, and how that connects is her life with her stepmother and stepsisters, and how she works too hard, and she's abused and taken advantage of. And I'll be doing another of my improvisations just to give you a little chance to explore issues of abuse and enslavement through her character. And Yeah, just in terms of trauma, and we may be going into this more in a later day, is there's also, things like the witch hunts and all those that come into, which are part of our matrix, impact us today. So those things too have to be cleared. But I'll be talking more about that another day. And what I'm really focusing on is the working too hard and being abused. And we'll be doing matrix release because of that. And how we don't allow ourselves to rest. And there's all kinds of actually things in the culture from Puritanism is that we must work. It's wicked not to take. It's wicked almost to have too much leisure. And the Money Matrix magic spell today is focused on the antidote to overwork, which is joy breaks and taking time throughout your days, weeks, and months for fun, rest, and restoration. And it's this is a really hard one for me to learn. But it's so important to be able to take breaks during the day and to not just get totally obsessed with whatever you're doing and wanting to finish it and not getting up and walking around, taking a walk, and or doing other things that, you know, even doing the dishes or something else around the house can be a break from work. I find having actually a couple of dogs really helps me and remind me to take breaks. But what they've found in their research is that you cannot work intensively on projects for more than, which require a lot of brain power in that, or even something like practicing, let's say you're a violinist or a musician. There's really a limit to how much you can practice a day and still be really effective, and it's really important to take, I think it's about 4 hours, what research shows. Some of the most high-level performers, and you have to take breaks in between. And usually for working, if you're working on something at your desk, at your computer, no more than an hour and a half before you really need to take at least a five-minute stretch. So that's just, there's kind of a psychology that if you work harder, you're actually going to make more money, and it's not true. You do have to work hard but there's not a correlation between more and more hard work and actually being making more money. In fact, often, and this is for creative ventures too, there's a certain amount that you need to work hard on, and then if you don't take a break, you get less creative, you see the alternatives less, and you actually waste more time. So that's just a positive habit to integrate in your life and really, really important. In fact, there's one business coach he lives in Toronto, actually, and he coaches a lot of high-level people. Like, he only starts with people who have over $100,000 income. But what he starts, I've been to a couple of his open public lectures or whatever, and he starts with saying, plan first your holidays and then plan the rest of your year. And how he does it with his high-level clients is the more he works with them, the more he plans with them greater breaks and more vacation time, which is really interesting because often people just assume if they're going to be more successful and make more money that they got to work harder and take less breaks, and that's certainly part of the corporate culture today. So I'm going to, what I'm going to do is go into my improvisation of Cinderella, and then, and I ask you to, if you've got journals for this course, which would be great, you know, or just a, you know, an exercise, one of those exercises or notebooks to put in notes, you can open that up, or just take any piece of paper and while you're listening, maybe jot down some notes on this. Oh yes, and there's one thing that I forgot to mention. There's somebody who was on the call last time, but who was on the webcast. And when we were talking about loss, she actually did some release work and grief and loss, which was our last thing. She tapped around the loss of her dog recently, and why she had to die. Why did she have to die? And I just wanted to, because I didn't notice it at the time the other day, the comment. I just wanted to actually say that you can lose. You know, you can lose people in your life and you can lose pets. And it's not often recognized. Oh, people think, oh, you just lost a dog or something like that. And they can be, it can be even more if a dog or a cat or some other animal has been in your life for a while, it can be even more painful and traumatic than losing a person who might seem more important, you know, to other people. And that's kind of our human, it's kind of also the orientation of our culture that thinks that humans are the most important. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that because it's really important not only to release grief around loss of people in our lives, but also around our loss of pets, and who are really significant. So here we go with the Cinderella, and this is a point in the story. Yesterday, I was focusing in on the point where she was just mourning her loss of her mother and her change of life situation. And what I'm going to do right now is just go a little bit later in the story and do an improvisation around the time when she's just so fed up with working so hard. And just actually, I'm going to be adding this to the bonuses. I haven't put it in yet, but I did a really interesting interview with Michelle Talker about the fairy tales. And she's really the person in my life who's been a huge mentor about I naturally loved fairy tales, but she has been a huge mentor as how as an adult and how as a creative person I can go back to the fairy tales and really call lessons from them and enter them like I'm a enter the fairy tales and relive the fairy tales. And this is work that all of you can do. You can go into any point of a story and become one of the characters, and it's so rich to do that because it reveals all kinds of things about where you are with your life. And so I'll be putting up that interview with Michelle, and you'll be able to download it and listen to it and get some insights as to why I'm using these old tales. So okay, so let's get into, my goodness, I've talked a long time today, but I will now go into Cinderella, and I'll just take a moment to focus on the character. Okay, so I'm seeing Cinderella is, she's just working, scrubbing, okay, so she's scrubbing one of the floors. And I'm just going to go into her and be her as opposed to just looking at her. I am so, so tired. I'm so tired of scrubbing this floor and scrubbing it more and more. And then that one of my sisters, she just comes and says it. it's no good. And then she always notices a speck of dirt here, and then that thing hasn't been cleaned right. And I do my best. I mean, I really am trying to check it and do it all, but it's never good enough. Oh, there's another dot of dirt. Oh, dear, I'm going to have to really do it. I'm so fed up. The other night, I prepared them a beautiful dinner. A beautiful dinner. And all they could do was find problems with it. Like, they found a little stone in one of the salads I did, and I don't know how it got there, but it got there, and they really, really tore me apart about that. They told me how I wasn't any good, that I couldn't even make a salad. I am so fed up. All I seem to do is work from day in, day out, and I'm not appreciated, and they get to wear all the beautiful clothes, and they're going to be going to this ball with the prince. And he's called all the ladies in the land, and I can't go because I wouldn't even dare to go. I mean, they would just laugh at me. They would say, "How could you do that? Look at you." And that's what they do about everything I do. I'm tired of this life. I mean, the more I work, it doesn't make any difference. They just kick me and say I'm not good. And I used to think I was okay, and I'm kind of losing it all. I'm losing my feeling that I'm okay. I'm beginning to feel like I'm not worth anything. That feels pretty horrible. I don't know. I just need to do something because I can't stay here anymore. I can't stay living like this. It's just not worth it. I just wish something would happen. Something would happen that would give me the chance to get out of this. Okay, so that was Cinderella, and it sounds like she's pretty well ready to go to the ball if the fairy godmother turns up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up, I'm going to put on Q&A, and if anybody has questions about all the things that I was saying, or comments on the Cinderella thing, and that would be good, or just issues of just in your life working too hard, and or even if you might want to think about in your family, what did you hear about working and playing? Was it okay to play? So, or did it feel kind of bad, like that you were, you know, the devil? If you're brought up in certain religions, it's almost the devil's work being idle or not being really busy with work as opposed to play. So press star 7 if you'd like to say something. And I'll just wait for a moment. And or if you just want to say hi and bring up an issue that from the other calls. Okay, great. Katrina.
You know, I just was listening to you there, and I could totally feel in my body like that feeling of just constant working so much and just not getting the results you want. And I flashed on a memory of there was a theme in with my father where he was not he was a difficult man, but when my 16th birthday, he bought me a car, but it was a used car, and which was great, and I was very excited. And then after he gave it to me, he said, "Well, now you have to go get a job because you have to pay for all of the insurance and you have to rebuild the transmission."
Like, oh my God.
Problems with this car. And I was completely overwhelmed, and I was like, but I didn't ask for this car, and why did you get me a car that had all these problems, and now I'm responsible for fixing all of it? So it was a tragically funny and horrible gift, and I was furious, and I was forced to go get a job. And so I'd made a decision that I was just going to work as hard as I had to never need anything from anybody again, you know?
Wow.
And it really was a defining moment. It was just it felt like a slap in the face. It didn't feel like a gift. And I think
it wasn't a gift in many ways. Yeah, it was it was really being imposed on you to follow what, and this happens a lot. It's like people give you something and then they want to control,
lot of that. I've had a pattern of that in my life where I've, tentatively received help from people, but then always felt like it came with so much. There's so much kind of not very giving energy around it.
Mm.
So I think that definitely, I can see where I've definitely, I just became fiercely independent because I just didn't want to receive or need anything from anybody else.
Right.
And that's
so that would be a great thing to work on clearing, and actually for everybody on the call, because there is a dynamic often with giving where there is control, and then who wants to receive in those circumstances?
Right.
Like how I imagine that with most gifts, you're almost, I don't know if you've cleared much of this, because you've done a lot of energy work yourself, but how do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel about receiving any gift?
It depends. I think I've become almost, hyper-vigilant at reading people's unspoken motivations.
Okay.
So there are things that I definitely will receive, and they tend to be small. Like, I tend to be okay receiving small things. But definitely where it gets tricky is when it becomes a little bigger outside of my comfort zone.
Mm. And, thank you, Katrina. Anything else? Or I'll see if anybody else will do. But this is a great one to clear.
I think that the energy of just receiving requires a lot of hard work. It's always going to be hard work.
Okay, that's a lot of hard work. Like, it can't be easy to receive. Wow, that's a hard one. Okay, thank you. And I'm going to, I'll just put you on mute now, and and is anybody else, if somebody else wants to press *7, if there's anything that they'd like to clear about working too hard. And it's a very common thing for, I think, entrepreneurs, heart-based entrepreneurs. You can work way harder at your business and be more of a slave driver than, in fact, somebody who's at a job where they have a boss who they kind of, I won't work half as hard for a boss as I work for myself. And sometimes, it's not always the most effective work, and you do need to take breaks. So anybody else want to weigh in on that? Just press *7. And I'm just going to look, and if you press the *7 and then you just talk, I'll hear you. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody. Oh, yes, I am. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Katie. It's Chris, yeah. So I really identify with the hard work notion and the rejection of leisure time, definitely the culture I was brought up within. I like to make the joke with friends who had more kind of normal middle class American life that for fun my family stacked wood and raked leaves on the weekend. That was what our version of leisure was.
Wow.
But there's something else I wanted to add to that, which was not only was there the expectation of hard work, but if that hard work didn't translate into some type of tangible success by, you know, my family and my culture's definition, especially monetarily, then that must mean that there's something wrong with you, or you're doing it wrong, or you're not smart enough. So there's the, you know, there's the hard work heaped on with the not enough construct. So that's something I'd like to clear.
And that can be really hard with building a business, because for a while sometimes it takes a while sometimes to get results. And so it's in between
right. That.
And, you know, and also for any creative endeavor, it's like there's always a risk, and there's often times when you fail for a while before you're successful. So that makes it really stressful doing that. Oh, well, thanks, Chris. Wonderful. So we'll do those two clearings, and I'm just going to check, and then I'll open it up later for other people. And I'm just going to check on my Q&A section just to see. No, there's no questions. It's just a hello. So I'll just do a refresh, and we'll see. Yes, I'm hearing that. I just realized that my play breaks were reading and learning. Thinking back to your email a few days ago about constantly learning, I can see why I do that. So some of us, and actually that's an interesting thing, is that, and maybe we can talk about that a little bit, because play, there can be an aspect that learning is work, and we don't let ourselves do other things like walking and swimming, or, you know, going out and just having fun, going to the cinema, any ways that you might entertain yourself. But it's also a thing that, I mean, that everybody should just write down, is what is fun for me? What is a break for me? Because it may be that certain kinds of learning are just fun for you, and so that's great, and, you know, go ahead with it. And then it's other forms of learning might be just addictive, where you're feeling not enough, and so that's not always feeding you. So that's an interesting thing to inquire to yourself as to what is fun, and what is really fun for you, and what do you really need to, what gives you joy and will really be a break in your day, or in your months, or, you know, when you, and going away for a while. What allows you to, I think actually part of it, it's those kind of activities that lead you to be able to really experience joy. And sometimes work will do that, but it's just too much work won't, and too much of the wrong kind. Like, you know, when you're creatively involved in a project, you know, like I've make masks and been in plays, and it's just like, yeah, I mean, I really want to do many, many hours at that, but there's just a point where I need to change the channel, do something completely different. So, and just changing the channel or doing something completely different lets you step back and rest your body and do different things. So it's really a balance, and it's really asking yourself, well, which parts really give me joy, and trying to integrate those more and more into your life, and then just balancing between activities. And also asking just what's fun for me, because what's fun for one person is not fun for another. So, okay, so I'm going to go into actual clearings. And we got some great ones from, let me start with the one about gifts and receiving, which Katrina mentioned. Okay, even though for me, it's dangerous to receive. I deeply love and accept myself, even though for me, gifts are something that can be turned against me. I deeply love and accept myself, even though I'm really afraid of gifts and getting gifts. I deeply love and accept myself. God, how could my dad have done that to me? I mean, that was so crass, and yet I think he really didn't realize it. He really didn't realize it. He thought he was doing me a favor to make me work and to have this car which needed all this repair, and so I just keep working and 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 working. And he didn't want me to be idle. He wanted me to get the right lesson about life, that life is work. Life is work. Work, work, work. Work, 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 work. Work. That's all I do all my life. Work, work, work. Work more, work more, work more, work more, work more, work more. If you don't work more, if you don't work more, you're going to lose it all. You're going to lose it all. Work more, work more, work more, work more. Don't take a breath. Don't take a breath. Okay, I want to take a breath. I want to take a break. Forget the car. Forget the car. I don't want a car. I don't want a car anymore. It's too much work. But what if I could have a car? What if I could have lots of things and I wouldn't have to work so hard? I mean, after all, I'm really brilliant, and there's some really brilliant people who get way, way more than me just for sharing their brilliant ideas. And yet I'm doing all this work, like all these things in the world that require so much effort, and I just can't sustain it anymore. I just can't sustain it. I think that maybe some of my brilliance could help me, save me from work. And that wouldn't be a bad thing. That would be really good. In fact, most of the big inventions lead to less work. So why don't I just invent myself? Why don't I reinvent myself so I have less work in my life and more joy, and that I just take care of this beautiful body I've been given, that I just take care of it, that I just take care of it, that I just take care of it. Okay, so I'm going to drink some water after that, and then I'm going to do another clearing related to the other issues that have come up around leisure. And actually, I'm trying hard to get some water up here with my spare hand. Okay, here, I got to take some water. And everybody should have some water beside them, and maybe it's time to take a big sip. Okay. So here we go. On the expectation that always there's more hard work that you have to do, and that you can't have leisure, and that, what Chris was talking about, that for her family, fun was stacking wood. So let's go here. And let me see. Okay. So even though I'm supposed to work all the time, even when I'm playing, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I have to work at playing, I deeply love and accept myself. Even though I have to work all the time and I can't play, I deeply love and accept myself. Why is it so hard for me to play? I mean, I just love to play. I want to play. I want to play. I knew how to play as a kid. I knew how to play. And yet it's kept getting squashed. I just have to do the practical things of life. Have to work, work, work. Have to stack wood, chop wood, stack wood, bring water, bring water, bring water. Oh. I really want to stop. I mean, I can invent millions and millions and millions of ways to work harder. I mean, I'm really creative. I'm really creative. I can think of more projects and more jobs and more things to do, and I can make a to-do list which is a million, million, million lines long, and I can just see it stretching out to infinity. That to-do list, I gotta do it, I gotta do it, I can't take a break, can't take a break. The to-do list is way too long, it's way too long, it's way too long. And now I'm making it a song about my to-do list, my to-do list, my to-do list. I'm just going to throw out my to-do list. I'm going to rip up my to-do list. I'm going to rip up my to-do list. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to see and I'm going to experience the world. I'm going to experience the world. I'm going to experience my song. I'm going to have my song. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing my song. And fuck the to-do list. Fuck the to-do list. The to-do list will get done in its time, but not all those things on the to-do list need to get done. None of them need to get done, just the ones that feel good, that feel right, that feel right. And even in business where everything's supposed to be done in this way and that way and this way and that way, and all the gurus tell me I have to do this and that and more and more and more. Well, fuck that. I'm not going to. I'm just going to follow my intuition. And I'm going to do the things that bring me joy. And I'm going to do the things that feed me, that feed me. I'm going to do the things that feed me. I'm going to play. And as I play, and as I play, and as I play, and as I have fun, my life's work is developing. I'm here. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm here and doing it, and it's fun, and it's fun, and it's fun. Okay, so another big sip of water, and I'm going to open up and see what's happening with people. There we go, big gulp. I'll just refresh the Q&A and open up the phone line so that people can, actually, if people want to press 7, then if anybody wants to say anything about what we just did, that would be great. Okay, Katrina?
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you. That was great. I really felt a shift, and I was chuckling.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. And was there anything in particular that that kind of called out to you when you were doing that?
Well, it was really about, like, moving away from hard work and more into my brilliance in the world, and that will likely, I sense that will lead me to more abundance and less effort.
Yeah, yeah. And you certainly got that. And when you're in the flow, you are amazing in terms of what you attract in your life.
Yeah.
And that's part of the whole thing, is that when we're open to source, which we talked about yesterday, and not kind of got our nose to the grindstone, all these amazing things can happen without that much effort. And then maybe they lead us to things that, well, we actually do some of our work with, but we don't have to go to all these amazing contortions to get there. So thank you, Katrina. Anything else, or I'll see if anybody else wants
Thank
to.
You.
Thank you. Too. Yeah, I enjoyed those clearings. So here we go. They say with energy clearing, when you're working with others, that you can borrow they have this term, borrow the benefits, that the person who's working also gets the benefits. And this is a great one for me, because it's something that I was very My mother, basically until way into her 70s, would work every day and really had a hard time taking any time off. And I think my father was better at it, but, you know, that was the female model. So thank you, Katrina. Anybody else like to say something? Or something that they twigged them that they would like further clearing on. Okay. So I'm not... I'll just open up the whole line so nobody has to do anything. Unmute. And if there's anybody else who just wants to chime up with something, you don't have to press star 7 or anything. You can just say something right now. So
hey, Katie. It's Dina.
Oh, hi, Dina. I didn't even see you. Great. You're not on my board.
I'm quiet here.
Talk again.
Can you hear me now or see me now on your board?
Yes. And it looks like we've got two people from Bakersfield, or at least their phone line goes to Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
Which is why I thought it was the same person. So now let me see. So please go ahead, Dina.
So I was really appreciating the clearing because I, like you, grew up with a mom who was very industrious. And, you know, that was a big virtue. And so, of course, wanting to be like her, I became very, very industrious. Now have trouble slowing down, but it's been a constant pursuit of mine to remind myself to enjoy the downtime because that's really what makes my uptime so much better. So I appreciate the clearing and the reminder.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. And anything else that you feel is still kind of there to that you want more clearing on?
Yeah, I think I want more clearing around the idea that work equals joy and peace of mind, not so much effort.
Oh, okay. So, that you can do work without having the attached ideas about work.
Yes.
Okay. Great. So thank you very much. And anybody else want to say something while we're at it? And then we'll go to our last clearings. Okay.
Katie, I'll say something. It's Emily.
Yes.
In terms of creating structures when I'm doing a lot of work from home, that's one thing that I find to be challenging, creating my own structures about when it's work and when it's other things and really feeling that rhythm and giving myself permission to be in that rhythm. That's something that I find challenging. And recently having moved the service aspect when I'm working with people, that's no longer in my home. That I go to an office for that, and so that has helped just because I was familiar with that when I had a job, that thing of leaving to go to another space to work with clients. But when it comes to things that I'm building, administrative, those kinds of taking care of things and creating structures for having a rhythm of things happening and then stepping back and, I'm not working on that now. That's a challenge.
That's a great point, actually, because there's parts of this which are where you need to actually clear stuff around, which are negative beliefs, and other things where it's actually creating structures as an entrepreneur that work for you. And sort of, I know I was talking with somebody the other day. It's just like having one day. Well, let's say you're a coach or something, or a massage therapist, having 2 days maybe where you do the massages, and the other days you might do other things completely different, which might be related to your business, like promotion, or they could be taking off time, and just being able to, or doing a creative project, and just being able to really slot the times is really helpful, because I find what happens is that if you don't do that, and I often will relapse and, you know, schedule things on days that I'm supposed to be keeping clear for other stuff. So I'm not perfect at this. But it really does help when you've just got particular times focused on particular things. And because otherwise, you know, like if you're taking clients every day, for example, then it can really break up the day and you don't have time for real creative time or time working on other aspects of your business. So that's actually a really interesting question. And okay, well, thank you, Emily. Anything else, or we're going to go to, we may go a little bit over today. I'm going to do a clearing, and then we're going to do the healing codes for the whole thing. But I'll do one last clearing around any more stuff around this. And, yeah, okay. So I don't hear anybody else. I'll give one last, okay. So I'm going to put it on lecture mode so that, just check for the Q&A. Just a comment. Thanks. I'm going to take the afternoon off, maybe the whole day. Great. I think I may do that too. So wonderful. Great. So we're just going to do another thing of EFT. And for those of you who don't know the emotional freedom technique, yesterday we talked about how you can use other techniques at the same time. And there are resources on to do for the tapping, but you don't have to do it. But what you can do is just either tap alternatively your feet, like tap your left foot and then your right foot, and then left foot, right foot while we're doing these clearings. Or you can just use your two of your fingers and tap in between your eyebrows, on the points in between your eyebrows. And that's another tapping technique that's called the WE technique, and I have some resources on my energy resource page for that, explaining it more. But that works really good too. So even though, let's see, even though I still don't know if I can take a break and feel good about it and not feel guilty, I deeply love and accept myself, even though I wonder how I ever can really take a break and not feel guilty, I deeply love and accept myself, even though I don't know how I can really integrate this into my life, I deeply love and accept myself. What if I got rid of all the ideas that work is burdensome, that work has to feel like work, and work, feeling like work, feels heavy, feels like I have to do it, like it's something I don't want to do? And what if work could just be fun? What if work is so amazingly fun that it would light up my heart just doing whatever I have to do? And when there's things that I don't quite like, I'll do them when I have to, but I'll make a game of them. I'll make a game of them. I'm going to make a game of my life. Isn't that shocking? I mean, what would my mother say if I made a game of my life, if I made a game of work? What if work was a game that I was playing, and that every once in a while I need to switch my game and go to what they call is play? And play is a break. Actually, work and play, it's all intermingled. I need to intermingle between my different parts, my need to stretch, to use my body, to go somewhere, to walk, to swim, to play, all those things, to have fun. I need to keep changing things in my life so that my brain and my body keep getting stimulated, and then rest, stimulation, then rest, stimulation and rest, stimulation and rest. The right balance of stimulation and rest, that's so important. That's so important. You know, the right balance of sleeping, where sleeping is really good, and then if I sleep too much, then I feel kind of weird. And anyway, just weird. I can't think of the word right now, but it's like that with working. If I work too much at a certain thing, then I start clogging up. I start feeling weird, and then I need to change. And then if I play too much, I start sometimes doing the same thing. Then sometimes play gets boring, and I want to go back to what is called work. So it's all a funny mix. So why don't I just make it all a game, all fun. And even in making things a game, I can do serious work. Serious work. Why do I want to be so serious? Let's just have a laugh. Let's have life being a laugh, even when it's not a laugh. Let life laugh. Let's laugh about life. Okay, so another drink of water. As I said yesterday, really important. Actually, each time you come to one of these sessions, make sure you have plenty of water beside you. And, okay, we're going to go into the healing codes, which we talked about yesterday. And again, to find out more about the technique and the body positions to use, just go to the Energy Resources page, and there's a link to a chart and to some talks by Lorna Meinweiser, who's an amazing healing codes coach. So here we go. We're going to start with a prayer, which you can always adapt, but and it's an intention for healing. So I pray, request that all known and unknown negative images, unhealthy beliefs, and destructive cellular memories, and all resulting physical issues related to me working too hard and not playing enough, not taking the breaks I need, not doing all those issues where also I won't receive with ease, those issues that I have to work so hard and that I can't just do things which seem really simple and yet are very powerful and which can bring me in abundance. All these issues related to working so hard be found, opened, and healed, filling me with the love, life, and light of the great divine force. I also ask that the effectiveness of this healing be increased by 100 times or more. And here we go. So I want you to the truth focus statement this time, or the thing that you might focus your mind on, although all you have to do is also just relax, but if you would like to focus on a statement, maybe it would be something like, I'm having such fun with all my work and play. And, or you could be just focusing on, I'm able to take breaks. Whatever seems good for you, and you might change it during this thing. So with the healing codes, for those who haven't done it before, just cup your hands and direct the energy. The first point that we're doing is in between the eyebrows, and you direct the energy there. And so you have your hands about 2 inches away from the skin, and you're directing the energy in the first one towards the spot in between the eyebrows. And don't worry if you don't get these exactly right. You can look later at the chart. And I'm doing this work, and you know, we're all the intention is also so powerful of releasing things, and the energy is being transmitted over the phone lines. So even if you don't get the positions quite right, don't worry about it. So avoid worrying about it. So we're now focusing on that you can have fun and work and abundance. And you're going to have such fun with all your work and play. So we're just focusing the energy in between the eyebrows. And we're going to focus here for about 30 seconds. We've already done a bit of that 30 seconds, so it'll be a bit longer now. And you're breathing deeply. And if any negative old stories come in your mind, don't try and fight them. Just let them, notice them and let them float away. You don't have to be a Cinderella slaving at the kitchen or doing all these things, making everybody else look beautiful. Whatever it is, your thing where you're working really hard for others but not getting enough for yourself, not getting the breaks. Just focus on letting go of all this old story. Okay, now we're going to focus on bring your hands, both hands down. And if you have a telephone in the hand, don't worry about it. Just use one hand. Focus the energy and imagine that the other hand is focused there too. And just focus the energy on the throat area. It's where the Adam's apple is. Okay. Why am I having such fun with my life? Why is it so much more powerful to mix work with play and bring joy to everything than all this seriousness? We don't have to pretend anymore that we're working hard and not having fun. Who are we trying to impress by being working so seriously? Okay, there we go. And then we go to the side of the jaws, and you're pointing one hand, the right hand towards the right side of the jaw, the edge of the jaw, and the left hand towards the left hand edge of the jaw. And then you're just focusing the energy on these places. And breathing deeply. And then we go to the next area, which is the sides of the temple, and we're going to focus the energy there. Dr. Lloyd suggests that you do about 30 seconds in each point. Sometimes you're faster on one point and slower on another. And again, here I follow my intuition. So here we go. Just focusing the energy from the hand, streaming it towards the side of the temples. And then we're going to just cycle through this again, and we're going to you're going to focus now your hands towards the energy of your hands towards the point in the middle of the eyebrows, the area in the middle of the eyebrows actually, and just knowing that you can take breaks, that you can tear up your to-do list and just have fun. your infinite to-do list. And really begin to rely more and more on your intuition as to what it's important to do in your business. Okay, we're now going down to the throat. Focusing the energy there. Throat is the area the area of expression. How can we express ourselves in the world? How can we have fun expressing ourselves? We can have such fun working and playing. Life is just a game. Okay, pointing the energy towards the side of the jaws. Left hand pointed towards the left jaw, right hand towards the right jaw. Merrily, 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 life is just a game. And then, now we bring our energy back up to the temples and focus the energy there. Breathing deeply. Slowing ourselves down. We don't have to rush so much in this life. Life is not about rushing from one appointment to another. Okay, and then putting our hands on our hips for a moment on the crown of our head. And when you're ready, just drop your hands again to the side and look out at something in your environment. It might be a beautiful candle or beautiful painting or piece of cloth in front of you. Or you could look out the window and maybe you're seeing flowers and bushes, or maybe you're seeing snow or big buildings. See if you can find something beautiful in your environment as you come back to it. So I'm going to open up we're at the end, actually went a little bit over, well, actually went almost 15 minutes over. I'll just open up for a moment just in case somebody has some comments, and then we're going to say goodbye for the day. So anybody want to make some parting comments before we go?
Hey, Katie, it's Dina.
Yes. Okay, I got two people. Was that Dina? And then maybe,
yes.
Or is it, and then I think there was Shelley. So, Dina?
Great. What a great way to start the day. Thanks, Katie. I feel like I'm ready to go play. I'm going to actually see a play today, and I was feeling a little guilty about it. But now I feel like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Wonderful. That sounds so good. And I really feel like going to play, too. So I'm hoping all of you go and play. Shelley, were you wanting to say something? I saw your thing buzzing.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Just wanted to share a beautiful moment. In the middle of the healing codes, my daughter walked in and handed me a cup of tea and quietly slipped out and closed the door to allow me to have my peace and quiet. And I lost it. I cried and cried through the entire healing code. So it was a very beautiful clearing, and I thank you.
Oh, that's so sweet to hear. Oh. Yeah, and isn't it nice when they bring us those little treats and treat us like they really care.
Yeah, and it made me feel that now, you know, this clearing, as you know, she's in the process of moving out. So the clearing was a deep one, and it was lovely that it was allowed to be. And you're right, I also feel like I want to go and play and enjoy my sunshine. So thank you. Wonderful.
Wonderful. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to say before we go? Okay. So, well, I'm just going to, unless I hear somebody very quickly, we'll end this call.
Thank you, Katie.
And
Thank you, Katie.
And have a great day playing. And let's just, that's the thing. It's the day of rest. Sunday traditionally is the day of rest, at least for the Christian faith, if not for the Jewish and other ones. But, yeah, and many of us may not be religious at all right now. But I really wish you a wonderful day of rest and relaxation, and hope to see you back on the call tomorrow. Bye then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.